So if I were to want to summarize what I'm going to talk about today, it'd be we must stay as close as possible to the presence of God. His presence is always here, and it's always with us, right? In the context of walking and in relationship, we're always in His presence. But I want to go deeper, that we need to press into His presence. And why I say that is what has been sparking across our nation right now is the revival, or what some are calling the outpouring of God's Spirit at the College of Asbury. And now it's sparked in other colleges. We're praying for U of O. You Duck fans, we're praying for you to get revival and find Jesus. And then we have us Beaver fans that are already in the kingdom and we're serving God and we're excited for Jesus. Wow, that was backwards. But we want Jesus on those campuses, right? We want to see that spark. And so with this stirring, and with some of us pastors on Thursday morning, we actually prayed into that for our community. We actually discussed it and looked at what that is looking like, and we know it's genuine. We know it is the Holy Spirit filling and moving in America and in the world. It's going to contact the global everything. But in that, I started to think for myself, what? Man, I know people that have been praying for revival for many years. And what does that look like? And I started to think about all the different scenarios we see in the Bible and the contact of Christ and the contact of the Holy Spirit when He moved in the upper room, amen, when the church was birthed. I think about divine appointment. There has to be a divine appointment that comes with this. And I thought of some stories, and there's one that we'll pay attention to here in a moment, but I want to talk about this situation of a divine appointment. I think of Peter when he was in prison and the church was praying and they were on their knees and they're saying, God, set him free. Be with Peter while he's in prison. You know, they're praying hard. The church is moving in that moment of prayer. They're dedicated to that prayer. And then Peter all of a sudden is visited by an angel in that jail cell and he's set free. And Peter starts, let's go. And where does he run? He runs to the church. And he knocks on the door. And a young girl goes to the door and hears his voice and recognizes it's Peter. Runs back to the adults. Peter's at the door. Yeah. You're crazy, little girl. Here, here's some fish sticks. Go back over there. She's like, no, really? Peter's at the door. Now think about a church, they've been praying for this. They've been praying for Peter to be set free. And Peter's at the door knocking. So they come to the door and behold, Peter's there. Their prayer was answered. They almost missed out on a divine appointment. Could you imagine if it went on and they didn't answer the door? And Peter says, okay, I'll go to the next one. There's one thing that I talk about a lot, and it's because it really means a lot to me, and that is when Peter and Silas was in prison. The context of this is they're sitting there in shackles amongst other prisoners. But what do? They get into the presence of the Lord. They begin to sing hymn and praises. And they begin to glorify God. They begin to sit in their circumstance, even though it's horrible, folks. Think about your moments where tragedy has occurred. Whatever is happening, you're angered, whatever. And they're sitting there, instead of worried about being set free, they're praising their God. And in that moment, a divine appointment happens, and their shackles are set free by an earthquake. And they're just sitting there still praising God. But then you've got a guard, a Roman guard, who knows he's about to be killed for these men are going to be set running out of there and set free. And he begins to try to die by suicide. And what does Paul say? Whoa, 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 whoa. Look, we're all still here. We're all still here glorifying God. And you know know what? God loves you, and he wants to be with you. And another divine appointment. It starts to set a reaction, and this Roman guard becomes saved. And he goes back home, and he's like, look what happened to me. Who this God is. I want my family to know him. A divine appointment. These men, these women, this Roman guard, think about it. This wife had her husband still, the kids still had their father, and now they know who Jesus is. Amen? A divine appointment. And I think about Asbury and these kids and these young adults, these career kids, sitting in a moment, and now they're glorifying Jesus Christ, repenting, confessing, and on and on. And I think about our church right here, just Lebanon Foursquare, just our little community right here. What do we want? Where do we want to be in the presence of God? Do we want to ride this wave? Or do we just want to sit here in our chairs comfortable? John 5, 1 through 11, that's where we're going to look at. And I picked this for a reason, and it'll come out here in a little bit. But after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, an Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. It's interesting how they're so particular about where they're at. You find that interesting, the context of where they're at and what it looks like? I'm sure it's beautiful. Verse 3, in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man, have been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. Authority in that name. Obedience. Heeding the words of their Savior. God our King. Amen. There's two Greek words for time. Chronos, from which we get our chronological order of time. It equals calendar time or quantity of time, numbers, those type of things. But when I worked at the word and did some word studies, I started to see that the second word used for time is kairos. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm not Greek. It deals with the quality of time. Some theologians have translated it as a divine appointment of God or a favorable time. A moment with God. Church, the truth is that we can't miss the divine moments in our life. And we can't miss them anymore. More importantly, we have to be in his presence and praying constantly to be in those moments. Amen? I wonder, in Asbury, if they would have just moved on and went on to class. And not heeded or obeyed to the divine appointment they were given. They're sitting in a chapel. They're hearing a message, and if you talk to some of the pastors on Thursday morning, it wasn't a great message. Remember that? It wasn't an exciting message. It wasn't like a message I give, uplifting and encouraging. And worshiping, they were. The moment the revival happens is when God's people are prepared. It happens when we are ready for it with tender hearts and humble spirits, staying constant in his presence in prayer, being obedient to his Spirit. In the Asbury revival, the Holy Spirit floods a person, bringing them under deep conviction, bringing them to their knees to where the point of that conviction, they walk up on stage and begin to confess. And repentance of their sins. And it begins a divine appointment with their God because that place flooded with the Spirit in that moment. And if you go back and look at it, it's like numerous people coming up, confessing, repenting, and it just keeps going and going and going. They heeded and obeyed a divine appointment. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit continues through the chapel, and the thing I saw about it, and the thing I understood out of this, was they were unified. They were all in the same presence. They were all heeding and obeying. They were all worshiping and calling on the same God. They were unified. See, church, we have a choice. We can say yes or no. I mean, you can go to McDonald's and choose the way you want your food cooked or done. You can choose a Big Mac over a quarter pounder. You can choose to take a job or not. You can choose to be a stay-at-home mother, which I think is the hardest job in the world. Just a prop for you moms out there. Brownie points. But we have a choice to make. And I think in that moment in Asbury, and I don't know this person, I don't know anything, and I could be totally off, but in my opinion, that moment they heeded and obeyed to the Holy Spirit, the process of a divine appointment happened. In church, I think that's what God is calling us as Foursquare, as Lebanon community, our church, our ecclesia. Is it time to be pressing into His presence? Confessing, repenting, getting back right with God. Looking at verse 6 and 7 that I just read, Jesus asked a silly question, or did he? Was it really silly? To me, it's kind of like, well, of course this guy wants healed. He's been lame for 38 years. He asked a man who has been sick for 38 years if he wants to be healed. Don't you think he's sitting at the pool for that reason? Because the context of this scripture, as you'll notice in some of your translations, verse 4 is not there. It just depends on the manuscripts that they translated from. And the idea was this pool would be stirred by an angel of the Lord, and if you were the first one in, you're healed. So this man has struggled for 38 years to get into the pool to be first, and has never made it. That is a yes or a no question that Jesus asked him, wasn't it? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to follow God for the rest of your life? Do you want to be baptized? Yes or no? But notice the man's answer. He doesn't say yes. He doesn't even say no. He makes an excuse. He makes an excuse. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. That's not what Jesus asked you. Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. What? Somebody's sitting in my seat at church. You duct tape out, write their name on there. What was the excuse? Jesus didn't ask him, do you need somebody to put you in the water? Jesus didn't ask him who was going before him, who was knocking him down, who was fighting before him. Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Do you want revival, church?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life?
Yeah.
Do you want to be empowered so you can share the gospel to the unbroken people that are all in this community?
Yes.
That are in our private Christian schools. That are in our workplaces. That are sitting right here in our church that haven't given their life to Christ yet. I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Like those of you still waiting on the world to satisfy you. Some of us are still sitting here waiting for the world to satisfy us than the one who can. We're worried about church carpet colors. We're worried about programs. We're worried about getting children's church started so we can get these kids going. It's not about that. It's about the person. It's about letting them know they're welcome no matter what when they walk through that door. It's a divine appointment for some. When they come here for the first time, it might be a divine appointment and it relies on the people of God. What are you desiring? Are you searching for that divine appointment with God and what it can bring? One thought I had, or he had, the sick man, 38 years, comfortable with his sickness. Because he began just to lie there. There's no one to put me in the pool. I'm not even trying anymore. Because before I tried, and somebody would always beat me. He lost his desire. He began comfortable. He had become comfortable with his present state. He was comfortable with the routine of coming to the pool every day, sitting by the pool. After 38 years of the same daily routine, he was satisfied where he was. My other thought is the sick man makes a statement, and why I'm going down, another steps down before me. So why try anymore? Why have faith in God anymore? Why should I believe in a God that hasn't set free my finances anymore? Hasn't healed me yet? Hasn't done the work I've been praying for and praying for? Why aren't my kids saved anymore? Why isn't this happening in my life? I've been praying God to do it. I might as well give up. Might as well walk out the door and never go to church again. Are you comfortable where you're sitting right now? Are you just okay with coming to church on Sunday for an hour and a half and singing with the lady playing the piano and the person on the mic, hearing the message, and then going home? You're sitting in the con, you're sitting in these cheats, you're amening the preacher, but you go back out there and do the direct opposite. Are you just comfortable with that? Is it just a checklist? Is your relationship with God just a checklist, your presence with God? Over and over, I have come people to me, and I've prayed with them, and I've showed them scripture. I've shown what transformation looks like in a divine appointment, but they still choose to do whatever they're doing in their simple life. They don't want to change. They're comfortable in it. I mean, the key word is I here. I, Kyle, deserve this, God. I'm entitled to it because I've been going to church now for 12 years. I've been doing everything you've asked of me. I've been doing the reading. I've been doing the scripture. I went to school. I've done everything you've asked of me. Where is my blessing? Where is my thing that I want? Jesus is asking, do you want revival, church? It's a yes or no question. And I'm not talking about a revival that's a global movement. I'm talking about a revival in you. In you. It's you and him. I can't get you the revival for you. I can't get you your salvation. I can't get you to the place where you need to be with God. But I can walk with you. I can pray with you. I can't get you the blessing. Only he can. I can't deliver the divine appointment. Only the Holy Spirit can. But I could be there with you. And I know Pastor Scott, he's there with you too. I know there's leaders in this church. There's somebody sitting next to you that will walk with you and pray with you and talk with you and give you the assistance or accountability that you need. Yes or no? But what is your answer, really? Are we comfortable with our sickness called sin? I mean, are you? I mean, for me, I'll pick on me. Am I going to just stay comfortable in my alcoholism and just continue to drink because it's okay? It's all right socially? It's legal? No, it's a trigger for me. It causes me to go down roads I don't need to go anymore. It causes me to activate sin in my life that I am no longer part of. That's what we got to think about. Am I comfortable just drinking all the time? No, I'm not comfortable with that anymore. Because I want more and deeper with Christ. I want to be transformed more. I want my mind renewed more. I want to be the best preacher there is. Are we comfortable with our present state spiritually? But there are no excuses allowed. We either want it or not. Just because somebody sat in your seat in church, go sit somewhere else. You might see somebody and meet somebody new, and a relationship blossoms, and you find out you have more in common than you ever thought. You may hear a testimony that changes your life, and you grow spiritually. Your faith grows. I challenge you, sit somewhere different. I don't know why I'm picking on that. No one's came up to me and told me I was sitting in their seat yet. It's just an example. But I can't get into revival because so-and-so sitting on the fourth row hurt me. That pastor hurt me. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the people. It's about Jesus. It's about your salvation. It's not about what Luke did to me. It's about my relationship with Christ. Let Luke do whatever he wants to me, because I'll forgive him. And I'll keep moving in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And he'll move me into a place where I pray for Luke, and Luke comes to know Jesus, and we walk out of here hand in hand. Well, maybe not hand in hand, but we'll walk out buddies. Sorry, Luke. The preacher ain't fiery enough. The songs aren't sang right. I don't have time for this. We have to stop with our excuses, church. And we got to get in its presence and prepare for the divine appointment. I asked you, you want revival in you? You want revival in the community of Lebanon? We got to get up here. It starts with us confessing, repenting, growing, transformation. See, Paul. I don't know if you guys know this guy named Paul, Apostle Paul. Used to be named Saul. Well, Paul Saul. Okay. He was a bad dude. I mean, this guy thought he was doing the work of God by killing people that believed in Jesus. Imprisoning them. And all of a sudden, this guy, Paul, is Saul. Yeah, okay. Walking down the road, gets a divine appointment with Jesus. His life has changed. He has transformed. You don't see him going back and persecuting Christians. You see him promoting Jesus. You see him believing and sharing the gospel. I mean, people saw Paul coming and they're getting scared, like, this dude's going to hurt us. And he's like, no, I want to tell you about this man, Jesus. I want to bring you into his presence. I want to share about this spirit called the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, whatever you want to translate it to. But it's the Spirit of God. Transformation. See, he confessed, he repented, and he moved forward in Christ, not backward into the world. He kept going forward, transforming his life. And when he would sing the songs, and when he would read the scriptures, and when he would speak the things he spoke, he lived them with integrity. Because he knew when people saw him that he was living for Christ. Amen? And he even said, He had to pick up his cross daily. He had to make that choice daily. He even had a thorn that pressured him. And he didn't give up. He confessed and repented and continued on in his relationship and became a great apostle. I mean, he wrote half the New Testament. Well, I won't say half, but most of it. A man. I think of my own life and my own thorn that I have. Believe it or not, I think we all have thorns. Think about your life for a moment. Think about the moment of salvation and what has stuck with you. My thorn is consequences to my old choices. Some of it's not even a consequence, it's an accusation that I have to work through almost constantly every day for the past 13 years. But I choose Christ. I choose prayer, and I choose the divine appointments He gives me. And I ask that of you. Are you looking for that divine appointment? Are you prepared for it? Are you praying into it? Here's the divine appointment for this man. Listen, verse 8. Jesus said to him, he started the excuses, church. He looks at him and he says, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. It's as simple as that. Really? Okay. And the dude takes off. He's healed. His life's forever changed because he took the divine appointment and he listened and he obeyed and he heeded it and he moved. Even though at that time it was a Sabbath day in the Jewish law and the culture and the historical context of that moment, what he was doing was illegal. But not to Jesus. He cared about the man and the heart of that man. That's why these Jews come over there, and these Sanhedrin, and all these guys, they're saying, man, you can't pick up your mat. Well, yeah, I can. That guy told me to. How many things has Jesus asked you to do? I don't know what people are going to think of me if I do that. I really don't want to give that up. I love my alcohol. I love my drugs. I don't think people love drugs. Come on. I love my life the way it is. I don't want to mess it up. But I really need you in Uganda. I don't want to go to Uganda. I want you to go to Uganda. No, I'm not going to. I went to Uganda. It was life-changing to understand how we have toilets and we have running water. Just that context. Life-changing. I saw a Jesus I never saw before. I came back so on fire. But I obeyed and heed the divine appointment that Jesus gave me. Amen? You notice he didn't sit back down and stay around the pool for another 38 years. He walked into victory. Did you hear that? That should have been an amen. He walked into victory. Amen. He got up and walked. And he started to talk about, that man told me to walk. He's my Savior. Do you want to know more about Him? Think of your testimony, folks. Your testimony can change the life of somebody forever. And I'm not saying forever, I'm saying eternity. And they will live with Christ forever and ever and ever. Amen. He walked into victory. His divine appointment at the moment was Jesus saying this. Now this guy could have chose not to stand up. Think about this. This was faith in action. It's not just saying, I believe in a God that can heal. I believe that He can do this. I believe He can. No, He put it into action. He got up. He picked up his mat. He either gathered his belongings and took off walking. Action. We must do the same, church. And as I close here for a moment, I want us to realize and understand something. And maybe I'm being too harsh with you, but I think it has to be said. The gospel message is the only reason why I'm here, standing before you. It's the only reason why some of us are in this room, in context, is the gospel message. We can't take away from it. We can't hinder it. God will move if He wants to move without us. But I don't want to be a church that moves without Him. I want to be a person in a church that moves with him and catches the ride of the wave. Because I want to see people that were broken as I was to come to a saving knowledge of a Jesus so that they can stand up here one day. So that they could go in front of a men's group and tell their testimony, and we see men become men of God. So we can see ladies in their ministry begin to reach out to ladies that are broken. Little babies born that they weren't planning on having born. See, the gospel message, the power of the cross, the power is so powerful, that name Jesus, we just sang about it. I mean, these aren't just words. We're speaking truth. We're speaking action into people's lives. You want to see a true transformation of somebody, you sit there and share your testimony, and you know what Paul says? He says, Jesus Christ says, every knee will bow by your testimony. People will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of your testimony. Making disciples, going into our schools, going into our workplaces. That moment where you're feeling that in your stomach, like, I want you to give that guy the $5 bill or gal. Or I want you to say something to them. I want you to just pay for their groceries. I just want you to love on them. The Holy Spirit. And in that, things will happen. Trust me. But we have to heed and obey the divine appointment. Hearing stories out of Laundry Love. It gets me going crazy, and I tell Scott, I gotta quit my job so I can just do Laundry Love. Don't do that. you gotta stay in God's calling here. But you see that? It ignites me when I hear stories of people getting saved and changing their lives and transforming their life. There will be people that will never walk into these doors of this church, so we have to go out there. And God, trust me, he's going to put you in divine appointments. He's going to put you next to people, and he's going to prod you to say something or to do something, and you have to say yes. Yes, I will talk to them. He looks scary. He might beat me up. He might cuss me out. Yeah, that happens. I've been there. They might bring up your past and hold it against you. They might put shame and guilt on you. The enemy will do whatever to distract you and cause you not to say yes. But I want to be a church that says yes. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you looking for that divine appointment? Are you praying into it, church? Pray with me. Pray that I will get divine appointments in my life, Pastor Scott's life. I know his heart is the same. We want to move in God's presence in such a way we become such a lighthouse and salt in this community that this whole community just comes to Christ, like Nineveh. Amen. Other places. Jonah. What a great series. If you haven't been here, go look at it. Get Jesus on people. Oh, that's still my favorite one so far. Let's get Jesus on people. Father God, we love you. And we are searching for those divine appointments. We're searching for a revival in our own hearts. So Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit presence today, we begin to empower our hearts to a moment that we have a divine appointment with you. That you would move us in a direction of confession and repentance. That we would want more with you and deeper relationship with you. That in our constant move, in our relationships, in our schools, in our coworkers, and everywhere, our neighbor, the next door neighbor, Lord, put it on our hearts to walk over and say hi. Encourage us. Give us that strength. Give us that confidence to tell our testimony. Lord, we love you. I'm so thankful for sending Jesus so that I could be saved, pursuing us. And Lord, as you come after us, will we answer yes? Help us in those moments, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.